Well, I think one of the key things is that people have reasonable expectations. The vote to restore local authority is one that starts a process. It's not in the middle of the process. It's not at the end of the process. So for each community, they have to look at what options are right for them. In the Western Rockies, you see the towns around Montrose have opted out of the law, but then they decided to go with an electric co-op expanding service. And that's a very good decision for them. It's going to be quite successful, I have no doubt. Other places, they're building it themselves. Cortez in the southwest part of the state, they've long been building a municipal network, not unlike what Longmont has done, but there's some differences. But it's city-owned there. So the key thing is, I think, to recognize that there's no easy solution after you've passed a referendum like that. You need to look at what your unique assets are, what the challenges are, what technology might be right to embrace right away, and how to structure that with maybe a co-op or a municipal approach. But the key thing is you just can't do nothing. If you do nothing, you're going to be stuck with the same services that all the other communities that have done nothing will have, which will be slow DSL and maybe a little bit of fiber, but probably a cable company for the cities that are a little bit larger.
Does it look different in rural versus urban communities? Because we're seeing this happen now. We're seeing a lot of rural communities dealing with this, but also urban communities like Fort Collins and Boulder.
Yes, there's a huge difference between urban and rural. You know, urban areas, you're at least going to have like a Comcast provider in Colorado. Comcast and Charter they're not terrible. They're frustrating to deal with. They have high prices. But it's a heck of a lot better than in a rural area where you might only have slow, unreliable DSL. So in those areas, you really have to take action, and they have to take action locally because the federal government on broadband has totally turned its back on rural America. It is giving billions of dollars to CenturyLink and AT&T so that by 2020, many more areas will have obsolete DSL. It's a total waste of taxpayer dollars. It's very frustrating. But there's no one building high-capacity networks in rural America for many of these communities. You know, there are some places where you'll have local providers like wireless ISPs or others that are trying to do it. But most communities don't have it. I do want to congratulate those that are building some of these areas out. But it's important to say that without local action, most communities are just going to be stuck with whatever they have or don't have. So that's why we're seeing such an effort. And it is more expensive to do this in Colorado rural than it is in Minnesota rural. So, you know, you have those mountains that are beautiful. They make it more expensive. They make it more challenging. So it's really great to see Colorado, the state government, taking such a stronger role with recent legislation that was passed.
Even for communities now that have opted in to have some type of municipal controlled broadband, there's still the possibility of having private corporations involved in this. There's a lot of discussion, not just in broadband provision, but in all kinds of public areas, from building roads to whatever, you know, including broadband, of public-private partnerships. What should people be paying attention to when this is being put into the conversation?
Well, I think one of the key things to figure out with public-private partnerships is who's taking the risk. And then the secondary question will be who's getting the benefit. But we've seen a lot of public-private partnerships proposed in which the cities take on a lot of the risk. If there's a shortfall with the revenue, the cities have to make it up. But they don't have very much control over the network. That I would consider to be not even a partnership. It might be called a public-private partnership, but it's like the old question about if you call a tail a leg, how many legs does a dog have? There's still four. You can call it what you want, but it doesn't change it. So cities have to be really careful who they're dealing with. They should work with if they're really focused on a partnership approach. They should find a local ISP, maybe a co-op or a small private company that is working nearby that they trust and they know that they can work with. We have not seen any real successful public-private partnerships with the big cable and telephone companies. They have their own plans. They're not nimble enough to work with local governments. So you could very well have a potential for public-private partnerships in one part of the state and not have that potential in another part if there's no willing partners around.
There's so much discussion now about the FCC and net neutrality and the possible future of that. Is there a connection with municipal controlled broadband?
Yes, there is absolutely a connection. One of the things that we see is that both small networks and municipal networks, and all municipal networks are small networks by the scale of the industry, but small providers in general have no incentive to repeal net neutrality. There's definitely been some frustration among small providers in how the rules are implemented. But broadly, the small providers I talk to, they don't want to try and prioritize and create fast lanes. They know that that's going to be more hassle than it's worth. It's only the big companies that have millions of customers where it makes sense to try to create these fast lanes, because they can make a lot of money off it and they can afford the equipment that's required to do that. And they generally know that their customers have no other choice. Most small companies, they're operating in an area where there are other choices. So they can't just abuse their customers in the same way. So in general, we think that relying on local networks is smart, because we cannot count on the federal government to protect net neutrality or our privacy, which was another issue that's wrapped up in some of the net neutrality discussions, but is a bit separate.